Hello, my lovely podcast friends. How are you doing? How is the increasing number of listeners of the show going on? Is the week, we are already on the first day, so the week is almost at the end. Is it all going the fine, proper way you want it? Yesterday we had a lovely moment, the show, the podcast, and everything was 1 year old, so that is something lovely, at least in my opinion. So I'm just having a quick thing. Yesterday, in the past days, we had some small parties. This weekend we're gonna have a small Hofbräu Turns 1 party, which will be yummy, foodie, a lot of great things. You can see the pictures on Twitter, and yes, we're gonna also do something more public, but not sure what. And also, to be clear, after all the things of last year, first it's time to get the financial balance back in order. So basically I need to sell more things and keep some money on side to buy investments. That's basically it. On today's show, we're gonna talk about corruption, we're gonna talk about the Russian election gate, and we're gonna talk paper money and crypto money, the theft of the petrodollar, and I have a lovely interview on investing in penny stocks, which is an interesting topic to see, because, in my opinion, the great thing about the penny stock is that you can buy a lot of them. I mean, if you have a share, for example, 10 cents, and you buy it for one, you can at once simply buy 10, and for a retail investor with a relative small amount of investments, it is a method to go. I mean, it is higher risk. It's not that I say grab two companies, go in and leave it. No, what you have to do is do your research and get different resources, get people who say that it's a good company, that's a bad company, and make your own call and be honest to yourself about the effects of your call. I'm not saying that, I mean, I'm not giving personalized financial advice. It is not, the show also is not about it. The show is about giving you information, inspiration, and some ideas for future research and what you need to check out. That's what it's about. It's about bringing content and information that you otherwise would miss in your life, but information that you really need to have for your life. So I think that the show is really good. It's a fully loaded show. I would simply say, let's get your the profitable moment of your day on the way. Social media is here. Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Weibo, blogging, LinkedIn, Swan, Google+. But how to use them in your advantage? Get yourself the Social Media Expert course. It's the smart point to use all social media in your advantage without burning all your time. Hofbräu.com/SMM. I say Hofbräu.com/SMM. Yeah, as you know, there is a lot of corruption in the financial sector and in the world outside, not only the financial sector. And that's a really sad thing, because you see that especially in the financial sector, there is a lot of rigging. The gold market is rigged, the silver market is rigged. Most commodities markets are heavily being manipulated. Forex candle after another Forex candle gets out, we have the LIBOR interest gates. And the interesting part is that if you have benefits from the government, you will get locked up in jail almost for it. And if you're a banker or a bankster, then you get nothing, yeah, a fine, and you can go back to work. And then we also have a lot of corruption and scandals around the sanctions on countries. And there isn't something that you need to realize. A lot of those countries are sanctionized are not really our friends. Well, that's something that everyone will realize. But what we also need to realize is that we need them. If we simply stop trading with the Democratic Republic of Congo, we simply will not have our smartphones. It will not be working, because we need them. And there are more things that we need Congo for. And there is what they are now doing with sanctions is, for example, there is a risk for China for it, that they kick China out of the US dollar due to the North Korea policy. No economic policy. Nothing human race or anything that you would say is just, we don't agree with you, so you're not allowed to use our currency. And that creates problems, because it's illegal for those companies. It's now for companies in the United States extremely tough to do anything with North Korea. And to give you an idea how far this reached, let me give you an example I got from the BBC. It's an easy one. You have Afghanistan. There are NGOs active doing all types of work. Well, those student NGOs like the Red Cross, Doctors Without Borders, they get money also from donations. The money goes via the bank. The banks are depending on SWIFT. That's a Belgium-American project that basically streamlines your international payments. And now comes the interesting part, what they are doing. Because of that SWIFT is partly American and therefore part of the Patriot Act, the charities are not allowed to get water holes in Afghanistan because the enemies of the United States could be drinking that water. So that's basically why it is. And it's only just because the banks don't want to lose the SWIFT connection, because it's really, you need SWIFT for your, if you're an international active bank. And the real problem with all the sanctions and all the corruption is the lack of transparency. You see that there is the true blue big problem. We need to be more transparent. Why? You saw it in the WikiLeaks email gate, why Gaddafi had to go, because he was selling his oil for euros. It's something that you would say, not really the case. I mean, let's face it, that he is selling oil and that he is was planning to get all the oil to China in exchange for yuans and big foreign investments to get to help a few hundred thousand people to work. Yeah, well, I can't blame that to a government, head of government. Oh yeah, Gaddafi was a bad person, he's corrupt, yeah, but I totally agree with you on that one. But is it, was Gaddafi really worse than what we have now in Libya? It's now insane. I mean, three or four governments, I'm not really sure. Well, it's just lunatic stuff. But what we need to have is transparency. Politicians need to be transparent on the reasons that we get sanctions or why they want to do something. And then no cover back agendas, just get the real agenda right. I mean, it's just something that I think that we need to go on for. Because especially for us investors and entrepreneurs, a market who is transparent functions well. A corrupt market with a big government does not work. A corrupt market with a small government does work, because it makes no sense to bribe a government official if the government official has nothing to say and can nothing do for you which you will be beneficial for you. So this is what I think, that this is also a reason why they always push for big government, and it's a good reason for me to push for a small government. The Brexit is here, Article 50 is triggered, the talks are going on, unprecedented change will happen. We know this, we know things for certain. The Brexit is a profit maker, at least if you are open for making some money. Get yourself the profitable Brexit report. It explains how the Brexit could happen, the economic fundamentals, finally also a few great methods to make some money on the Brexit. So, are you a profit maker? Are you someone that's open-minded when it comes to making profits? Check hofprofit.com/Brexit. Yeah, it's time for me to spend some time on something that is gets a lot of media attention and I don't think is that relevant. And that's the United States elections. Were they hacked by Russia? And was it the Russian government or not? And how was the case with the fake news? To be clear, first of all, yeah, I'm pretty sure that the Russian government tried to influence the American elections. It's pretty sure that all the governments did this, because, let's face it, the US has the biggest currency, the biggest army. It's just the biggest in almost everything, including the biggest debt, and the biggest bankruptcy out of history is also from the United States. So they have definitely some things to be proud of. And the interesting thing is to see, so why, let me ask you a question. What is wrong with the fact that Russia tried to influence the US elections? I am pretty sure that the Dutch ambassador in the United States is talking with everyone. He was talking with all the parties, all the candidates. And then we can say we want this or this candidate. The people in the Netherlands prefer this. But it's the job of the ambassador to talk and say, well, we in the Netherlands think that this, this and this is important. So this is what we are going to go for. Please help us. And the fake news part is just, I mean, is it the government? The government, or is it some teenagers on Facebook, Instagram, Snap and Twitter who are having a go with it? I mean, for me it's easy. I'm pretty sure, look, for fake news, I would simply go to the Clinton News Network, or that's a name that we should give CNN, because it is just one, in America, it's one big propaganda outlet. It's nothing more than the Fox for the Democratic side. So that generates fake news. You see that the journalists and the media is trying to impeach Trump since the moment he was elected. And no matter what you think about it, he is elected the democratic way. So that's one thing. And the second thing, and if you want to rig the American elections, there are over 30 different voting machines and systems being used. So it's not really efficient to do. I mean, you could say, we got RT or Russia Today spreading news and from a different perspective. Yeah, that's totally true. And they are now also registered as a foreign agent. So basically they are a foreign bureau of a government. And now you get an interesting part. As all the foreign media has to do it, the BBC is also registered as a foreign government agent. So the United States government says that the BBC is bringing British propaganda. It is an interesting way to look at it. And it's also a small fact. So we can say that you agree with it, you can disagree with it. Yeah, that's fine. This is just what the facts are. And what we need to realize is that the war for the mind is now going on media. And if you look at YouTube, one of the big success and innovation stories, the big news outlets are Fox and RT, two extremely outspoken networks. I mean, I'm addicted to Twitter, and Twitter has a deal with Bloomberg. And you see that the news from the Twitter news services is really leftish, but there's really good financial coverage. It is a really interesting partnership. And from the other side, I mean, the Russia government and other governments going into the American elections, let's face the fact that the American government, there is no election, they're not in the country that they are interested in, that they are not engaging in. I mean, take an example in Ukraine. The wrong guy is elected, they start a big revolution, the war country gets divided into a few pieces, and the country is getting ruined. And it's a pity, because I'm thinking about spending my summer holiday in Odessa and Kiev. I already tried to visit a factory that I want to visit, but the government said that I'm not allowed in, so dear friends from the Ukrainian embassy, please help me out. I want to go to Chernobyl. I mean, sounds so lovely to me, visiting this factory. But the Americans are engaging in every election that they are interested in. So if the elections don't work, the violence can always work. And now is the big question. Should we? What's wrong with it? I mean, I am more interested in why the hell would you be interested in Ukraine? I mean, okay, it's a big country. A lot of food can you grow from it? Well, the US is bigger. The US has more food growing capacity. And no one is really interested in one combat zone and an exploded nuclear power plant where the guards are getting no money for protection services. Unless you are, of course, an army dealer, then this is the handy way to get nuclear materials for your dirty bomb. And it is the great way to sell your merchandise in a war zone. All the listeners love to making some money, but you will have to pay tax upon your money. But that's to change. You can save on your tax. Pay no tax. Completely legal. Start earning more money so you can take care for your beloved ones. So you can travel visa-free. Get yourself the tax-free passport. Get yourself the starting point to a tax-free lifestyle. A lifestyle which is an ultimate freedom. HoffProfit.com/passport. I say HoffProfit.com/passport. Yeah, there is a true blue mania going on the field of cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, blockchain and all the things. Yesterday we had a lovely interview on Bitcoin trading on steroids. So if you want to go and make your profits go to the roof, check out the show. But the interesting field is that people say, is it bad? I mean, a lot of people are talking about it. Well, it is bad for a few group of people. If you are investing in it and you are not knowing what you are doing, yeah, don't go in. It's not good. If you are knowing what you are doing, do your due diligence, do your research, then yeah, it's no problem. You can take and go for it. And the big interesting part is that you will see that paper money has a big problem. Governments can print it unlimited. What they need to do is get a pen, need to get something that they were working on in Africa, and pan-African currency for oil trade and imports and exports covered by gold, which is, by the way, also the same thing that at the moment China is doing with its oil contracts. It pays for the yuan, and you can easily change the yuans in gold in Shanghai or Hong Kong. So that's really good. So you get paper currency that you can easily convert into hard currency. And you see that Russia, who is selling its oil, is basically doing it already. But that's for the next segment. The great thing about Bitcoin and other cryptos is that they have to be mined. So it takes some time. There is a physical limitation. Well, what you saw with quantitative easing, the government simply starts printing money, prints money until there is no more, no tomorrow. And that's what they are going. So yeah, I'm sincerely supporting the crypto and the blockchain revolution. I strongly suggest you check out Bitcoin and report about it, and you sign up for the training about it. That's just explaining you everything and takes all the things out. And what you need to realize is that it is time to be part of the revolutionary change for good.
It happened. The United Kingdom is leaving the European Union. The people have spoken and created an unprecedented happening. This creates greater investment opportunities. They are outlined in the Profitable Brexit Report. You can find it at hofprofit.com/profitablebrexit, and during the introduction week you receive a 50% discount. So, join the highway to profitable Brexit momentum, hofprofit.com/profitablebrexit.
The debt of the petrodollar, the currency that everyone uses for its oil payments, is the largest accepted money in the world, and it is as dead as a dodo. Yes, of course, I'm talking about the petrodollar. And you see that China is basically attacking the petrodollar time after time again, and they are taking really small victories against the petrodollar. I mean, at the moment, if you want to sell your oil to or gas or commodities to China, they simply say, we want to pay a new one. Or we make a deal, partly your currency, partly our currency. Since the sanctions for Russia, it was the Russian energy sector was not allowed to use the dollar. So they are now simply trading their oil and gas to China for yuan. And when they got the money in, they simply exchanged the money for gold. And they get physical gold and they return for it. So you see, on that way, in Russia, the gold belongings are slowly on increasing. Slowly on. And it's a smart way. I mean, to be clear, I will explain briefly the petrodollar once again. It's easy. The Saudis have a lot of oil, and as a regime that, if they would not have a big ally, would get out. Well, that they are the biggest OPEC member, so they have influence on that side. They are slow. The deal is easy. They only accept dollars for the sales of their oil, and they are only going on. And they are investing that money in the United States and government bonds, infrastructure, just in common sense investments. So it's building a strong tie. So that's the interesting now. And the interesting part is that you see that there are now things changing, because all the OPEC members are doing the same. And you see that slowly on, OPEC member after OPEC member is making a deal to do something different. And that's going to make it interesting, because Angola is doing it. Saudi Arabia is forced to do it. And the reason I say that they are forced to do it is that Saudi Arabia was China's biggest oil supplier. Makes sense. Roughly 15% of the China energy came from Saudi Arabia. That's now down to 5, and it's even more declining. The reason it is declining is that the Chinese say, well, we rather make a long-term deal with someone, and we can pay them in yuan, and we can simply leave the dollar out. It makes sense, because the US is bankrupt. If we are sanctionized, we can simply pay our own ways, and we can make a deal, and we have less to do with the White House. And the interesting part for this is that there's more and more countries are working with the government, the USA, or working with China way, and leaving the US way. And the reason is easy. Everyone sees now, especially with North Korea, and that China is being at the risk of being kicked out of the dollar, there is a strong effort to get more countries out of the petrodollar system. Because let's face the fact, North Korea, a small nation, heavily armed, really poor country. If you do nothing, the people simply die from hunger. That's how easy it is. The regime says, we are a lunatic regime, we need an atomic bomb to protect ourselves. Yeah, well, there are more dictators and lunatic people that could serve really well, and we don't really need. I mean, if I look at the mess in Syria, Libya, then I think, well, let the Kim dynasty in for the coming few years. Get someone in here first who can run the country. I mean, yes, for everyone in Asia, North Korea is the problem. But for everyone outside Asia, who cares? I mean, so North Korea has an atomic bomb. Well, Israel has atomic bombs in the Netherlands, in Belgium, in France. They're all atomic bombs. Especially the France and the Belgians are more dangerous than the North Koreans, because they can't reach us. And if in Belgium one explodes by accident, we got all the joy. So that's one side, and we can talk about. So that's one thing. Then you see that. But the interesting part is that now Aramco, the Saudi company, is an oil company, it's the biggest oil company in the world, is gonna go public. It's gonna go public in the United States. Regulation was changed for it. See here why transparency in the financial market is so bloody important. And there is no really big interest from foreign investors. So maybe that a few oil companies will take a strategic share, and that's it. Well, now you get the interesting part. China is talking to buy between the 5 and the 15% of Aramco. That means that it has shares in the biggest oil company in the world. It could simply say from, well, Aramco, we want on the shareholder meeting a vote that from now on all the countries have the option to make a deal about their currency, to not use the dollar. It will be the death of the petrodollar, it will be the death of the House of Saudis, because the only reason that they are in place is the American protection. Otherwise, the Iranian government would simply drop by, get in, and take over the country. And let's face the fact, in a country where women who are raped are criminals, yeah, I don't think that I really feel sorry for getting that country out. I mean, that regime is lunatic. It's as lunatic as the North Korean regime. And I just realized that I offended in this podcast two different governments that the Netherlands has a friendly relationship with, so that if anyone want to lock me up in jail, that is where two good reasons why you can, the way you can do it, because this is the system it works. But back to the petrodollar, and the interesting part is going to see if people are no longer using the dollar for its payments, what's going to happen, how will the things go on. I mean, then there is a big problem. You see, and the interesting part is that earlier the Chinese launched their launched a commodity exchange, basically where you could get, you could sell your, you could buy oil contracts in yuan, and you could exchange yuan contracts straight in gold in Shanghai or Hong Kong. So sell me your oil, and you get gold in return. It's an easy way. It's a great system. It works. That was a small start over the end of the petrodollar. Now you see that countries are more and more thinking about it. The second energy supplier for China is Angola. Angola basically said, "From yeah, well, we can accept the yuan as payment, but we will get so many yuans in that we need to make it the second coin of the country." Hey, that's a great initiative. But on that side, once you got the economy going, and the interesting part is new for me in the world, that there are so many things happening, and China is step after step, it's just taking the petrodollar out. It's not going like big from one stroke you're out. No, it goes in a few hundred steps. But step after step is a small improvement. And at a certain moment, people will lose confidence in the dollar. They lose their confidence. They no longer want to look at the dollar. The reason? It's worthless. It's worthless. It's worthless. And you can do nothing with it. And now is the big question. Are you ready to profit and to benefit from it or not? I mean, when this happens, expect government interventions, big government, scaling up society's pressure to do the patriotic thing. I mean, I always get a lot of talk because I am not talking the patriotic things for Dutch people. I'm going the own route and just use common sense. And that's fine. I mean, I don't care. I mean, this show is not about pleasing others. It's about informing you and giving you new perspectives to think about. So yeah, that's a segment on the petrodollar. Let me know what you think. I want to hear from you. You can tweet me at Lodewijkhoff or leave a comment on SoundCloud.
Cryptocurrencies are hot. Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all the initial coin offerings. It's time to find the profitable cryptos. It's time to become a winning crypto investor. Don't be a money loser on cryptocurrencies. The Extreme Crypto Profit Report helps you with ready to go for investments in cryptos. Join a group of profitable crypto investors on hofprofit.com/cryptoprofits and receive a 50% introduction discount during the introduction week. hofprofit.com/cryptoprofits.
Yeah, it's time to go to the main section of the show, and that's going to be an interesting section because we're going to talk about penny stock investing and making money out of penny stocks. I got David in, he is from TSX Penny Stocks, and we talk about the penny stock investing, what it takes, what is needed to do it, and so on. He is based in Vancouver. It's a really interesting interview. We have three great tips in the show that he named some companies for you to check out. If you go and buy advanced without thinking, no, that's not good. What you need to do is think. Check the company. Check the management. So we have a quick check about the investing in the penny stocks. It is a lovely interview. I'm really happy with him as a guest. And let me know what you think about it. And let me know what you think about the penny stock interview. And I will say, Here is the interview, and let's get our profits rocking
to the show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I saw you have a website about Canadian and, to a smaller extent, US penny stocks. Why are you focusing on penny stocks?
Well, thank you for asking. I've been doing this for about 10 years or so, and I've had this website for about 10 years. The penny stock area is actually the greatest potential for making great gains in the markets if you choose the right company, the right sector, and your timing's correct. And why is that? Because most companies and most people don't realize it, including Microsoft, IBM, the big banks, any of the companies, they all start somewhere, and they start off as a small up on an exchange as a private company, and they become a publicly traded company, and they're like a 10-cent stock at that time. But over the course of a year or two, next thing you know, become senior or major companies. No one knew about Microsoft networks until they exploded way back in the 90s it was. And now, they're long gone. They're a senior blue chip company. Maybe the best way to describe it is all blue chip and senior companies generally start off as junior small cap companies. Not all of them make it to that status, but that's the growing or the seeding ground for all companies. And number two, it's a lot easier to buy a 5-cent, 10-cent, 20-cent stock and buy a lot of shares and have the potential to make a lot of money in it. So it's actually it's the best opportunity to see serious gains when you're buying penny stocks. But just to clarify it, you also have the greatest risks. These companies are like little babies. And they fall down, they have accidents. They're not full-grown adults like senior and major companies. So there's two sides to that coin. Great opportunity to make tremendous amounts of profit, but at the same time, you could have a company that fails. And most of the junior companies don't succeed like the big senior companies, but the opportunity is still there. So I got involved with it because of the fact that it was a good opportunity to make a lot of money. That was one of my reasons.
So why are you dedicating your research to Canada and the United States and not taking off from a global perspective?
Yeah, I don't have the bandwidth, I guess is the best way to describe it. I'm located here in Vancouver, Canada, and Vancouver is and if you go to my website, you'll see probably 50% of my clients or companies or stocks that I pick are junior mining companies, and Vancouver being a junior mining hub of the world for raising capital, as well as it's just a lot of mining companies, because BC is a mining area. So it's more logistics than anything else. If I was living in London, England, or Dubai, or Hong Kong, and I had a staff of 50 people, and I wanted to have a huge company, then I could look at covering European companies, African companies, Australian companies, American, and so forth. But it's mainly logistics.
So it's mainly logistics. And if you go back at the stocks you are advising or talking or writing about, it are mainly junior mining stocks. That's just because they are Vancouver, or is it because you think that the junior mining sector has great profit potential?
It does, absolutely. I can cite you one, Garibaldi Resources, and I didn't do a coverage of it. It caught me by surprise. I know the company. In fact, I know the CEO. This stock was 10 to 30 cents for the longest time, and they had projects in Mexico. And this is junior mining. Mm-hmm. And junior mining is all about discovery of a deposit of some kind of metal, whether it be gold, platinum, silver, copper, zinc. It doesn't matter what the metal is. Everybody knows our products are made from metals, most of the things. But the discovery of a big deposit for a junior mining company is their primary directive. And should they find one, these stocks go from 10 cents to $20, $30. Why? Because they've got billions of dollars worth of gold or silver or copper in the ground that eventually a senior or a major comes along and says, Mr. Junior Miner, we like what you have. We want to take over your company. We want that deposit for our future production needs. And so therefore, back to Garibaldi, 10, 20, 30 cents. They had a discovery in northern BC in the Golden Triangle area of nickel and copper. They put out the news release that they think it's a huge new discovery. The stock went to $5. It went from 30 cents to $5 in 2 months. It's coming back because the drill results weren't spectacular as they expected, but they're still trading at $3.20. you would have paid, if you'd have bought that stock for 30 cents last year, and you've traded even today for $3, you'd be happier than ever thinking, wow, what a profit, you know?
Making money, so, make your money back, yeah, at 10 time returns. I love to hear that message every day.
Yeah, and well, you don't get them every day. They're just a handful of, you know, one or two or three that will do this in a given year, and it's because it's not, it's geology, it's mining, it's not guaranteed, it's high risk. But that's an example of a penny stock that just, not, I missed it. I didn't cover it. I was too late. By the time I was going to cover it, it was $1.50, $2. It's not a penny stock anymore. But it's those kind of situations that have attracted most people, including myself, into the penny stock arena. And it doesn't have to be mainly the mining sector. Right now, what's hot is blockchain technology. There are companies out there that are going from 10 to a dollar, 10 cents to a dollar because of blockchain technology. The other one is cryptocurrencies. They too are part of the blockchain technology aspects. They're starting to take off, like the currencies themselves, the tokens. The next one is the marijuana space here in Canada, United States has taken off, mm-hmm, because they've opened up and loosened up the laws and it's turning it itself into an industry. So a lot of companies that start off and have good business plans and they're trading at 10, 15, 20 cents in those sectors can, you know, become dollar or higher respectively kind of valuations or prices on the exchange because of the popularity and the potentials.
It's interesting that you said marijuana stocks because most of my listeners are from the Netherlands. I am Dutch myself, and yes, in the Netherlands we have the image of having a great soft drugs policy, which, yes, basically means that the coffee shop that sells you the soft drugs cannot buy its stuff. It cannot produce, right, it cannot produce its stuff. So it's a miracle what they do. They don't buy, they don't make, but they sell a physical product. And the police, yeah, says, well, we are not going to check it, so we believe it's okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's an interesting business model. I mean, what you see now in the US, it's just legalized. You can grow it, farm it. A farmer could say, well, I'm sick of the corn, I'm going to go for the wheat and for the pot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in Canada, it's not exactly the same as US legislation. And it's each, and again, in the United States nationally, I don't think they've passed, allowed it to be completely illegal or non-criminal, but it's the states, each individual state passes its own laws, and some states are doing very well with economic growth and taxes. They've gained a lot of what we say prosperity from it is the best, mm-hmm, way to describe it. And it is also, and the number two, now they're not clogging up their or cluttering up their law legal systems, and less headaches for police and judges dealing with the criminalization of marijuana. They're much more liberalized and open to it. And it is billions and billions of dollars worth of economic activity and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of taxes. So they're seeing the benefit and saving the headache in the social, political side of it as well.
So it sounds like a great business model and a great future ahead. And if you could pick 5 to 10 penny stocks that will survive, you're a winner.
Yes. Yeah, well, there are marijuana stocks that go from 10 cents to 50 cents to a dollar just because they're in the right sector and they're doing something that's right. So that's another area. The penny stocks and the junior stocks can be in any sector, mm-hmm, and the more popular or more, the more popular or the more driven in the markets the sector is, like for example, marijuana is extremely popular. They double and triple up very quickly. Same thing, mm-hmm, with blockchain and cryptocurrencies. Mining does, but it's not as popular. Mining was popular 10, 20 years ago, but it's a lot of the money's going into these other sectors. And again, if you can pick a good marijuana stock at 10 cents, chances are you could have a 50 cent to a dollar cent, a dollar company if they've got good management, good business plan, good share structure, and somebody and they're going places and they know what they're doing.
So that's with every company. I mean, get a monkey running a great company and the company goes down. And the investors, mm-hmm, get peanuts. Mm-hmm. So, but what's your definition for a penny stock?
Well, my definition is anything under a dollar, because then you can add up the Canadian, because I'm a Canadian. But in the United States, they define a penny stock as anything under $2. So there's two opinions. I actually think penny stocks are like anything 99 cents to a penny is a penny stock. Anything a dollar or higher is not a penny stock, because it's a dollar and 10 cents, you know, etc. But again, like I said earlier, the Americans call anything under $2 is a penny stock because they're Americans, I guess. They think big.
That's something that they all have to do. That's why they are now heading towards big problems in the U.S.
Yeah, really big, I get it. Yeah.
So
that's another story.
Yeah, other guests, great guests in the lineup, in the planning already about it. Now, if you look at what you are doing, so you're talking mining, you're talking marijuana. Are there other sectors in the Vancouver area that you think that are great for investment perspectives?
Yes.
That are.
Okay, you want me to discuss that?
Yeah, or something, just we had a brief discussion about mining things. You could go into that or look at some other categories of companies you are covering.
Sure, my areas, I got energy, which is oil and gas, which is not so popular these days. It's still an active area. And I cover, if you go to the website, tsxpennystocks.ca, you'll see there's a list of companies. But what I do, I'm not necessarily endorsing any of them. It's an informational site. And I get up early and I check the news wires and I check out the company's general market condition. I'll check out how many shares issued and outstanding they have. I'll read the news and see how significant the news is and what bearing it may have on the company. And also what potential will the market find it favorable. And if all the things kind of my little checklist works out, I'll put that news out onto my website and distribute it to any of the subscribers. And just for your information, anyone can subscribe freely to the news alerts because that's what they are. I don't tell people to buy or sell or hold or short or long any of the companies. One reason is that I'm not a broker or an investment advisor. And so therefore, I'm not qualified, and it would be illegal for me to do that in Canada. You have to have a license and be trained and pass the tests. I'm not that person. I'm a marketing individual. So, and I've been in the business for over 10 years, so I do have my own base knowledge, and I work with the professionals, the brokers and the CEOs and all those other types of people in the business. So what I do is when I discovered it, news release, when I get up before the market opens and I see it and I go, this looks good. This looks very interesting. The investors might want to look at this or the subscribers. So I'll put it out on the website for the web and the world to look at. And at the same time, I send it out to the database of free signed up subscribers. Mm-hmm. And then they can decide what they want to do. If they like the news release, no problem. An example today was a company called Mammoth Resources. Mm-hmm. Mammoth Resources is a Toronto company, trades under the symbol M like Mary, T like Thomas, and H like Henry on the Venture Exchange. It's a penny stock. It was trading between 7 and 9 cents for the last month or so, and they're going to be drilling a Mexican gold and silver property. Well, the news came out that they were moving the drilling equipment to the property. The stock's up 3.5 cents on about 150,000 to 200,000 shares of trading early this morning. And I picked that news release. I put it out there, and I thought the price is good. The share structure is excellent. It's only got 21 million shares out, so it's a very tiny float, and it's been well received. So that was a choice I picked this morning, but I'll do that with all the sectors, the oil and gas, the mining, the marijuana, the technology, et cetera. And again, I just choose a company based on its news release, share structure, its chart, and the likability of the news being well received by the market at large.
Okay, if we have a look at, just go over all the categories, we had the mining and we had the marijuana, and I see on your website you also have pharma, biosciences, and technology. Let's have a quick, and some unique investment opportunities. Let's have a quick chat about them. You talked...
Sure,
go ahead. You said oil and gas. Is it only traditional oil or also shale energy?
Anything in oil and gas, anything related to extraction of hydrocarbons, I will cover that. And I'm not too keen on it anymore because the market doesn't seem to be interested in it with clean tech energy coming into play and other forms. But it's the same thing. I'll go and take a look at the news release. If it's a drilling announcement, meaning that the potential of discovery of a huge gas or oil well, is it an acquisition? Is it a big financing? Is it significant news that will change the course of the business's business plan and its actual future prospects is becoming more valuable as a company? And if it is that kind of a news release, then I'm going to read it and decide if it should go out to the website and to the readership. And I'll look at the chart what's a chart look like? Is the chart have strength in it from a technical position? Then I'll put it out as well. And another factor is how many shares are issued outstanding. Some of these little penny stocks will be 300 million shares issued and outstanding, trading at 5 cents. And that's not always so attractive because that's a lot of shares in the market. And there are junior companies, and junior companies aren't bought up by big banks and big institutions and mutual funds. Most of them are not. It's generally for the smaller investors and brokers that will invest in these smaller companies because of the nature of the who they are. So 300 million shares is a lot of shares for a little company. If it was a large senior company or a major company, 300 million shares is nothing because there is a bigger audience of investors out there from the banks, the institutions, and as I said, mutual funds and so forth, family offices. So I always look at share structure. You got 300 million shares out and you're an oil and gas junior and you put out news, while the investors aren't going to be buying it thinking it's going to go from 5 cents to 10 cents. That would take a lot of trading of shares in the open market for it to double up in price, unless it was spectacular news. So that's another reason why I look at the actual share structure or how many shares they have issued outstanding.
Okay, so you're not that keen on the oil and the energy sector, and why are you not covering clean tech and renewable energies?
It's the same thing. I don't have that in my sector because it's not extremely popular anymore. It had its a few years ago. It was really popular, but the investor appetite's not there. And as I said earlier, you probably will see coming next year, I'll change some of the categories to I have marijuana, but I think I'm going to go into blockchain and cryptocurrency as part of the respective technology sectors because they're just more popular. I will go with the mass sentiment. I mean, if the people are buying apples and they're not buying oranges, well, I should be marketing apples, right?
This makes total sense. Makes sense. If you look at the pharma biosciences,
that would be biotech. Yeah.
Okay, biotech. What's the Vancouver, Canada advantage in the world? Because biotech is hot and everyone is running with these projects and money is cheap at the moment.
With pharmaceutical companies and biotech companies?
Yeah, both. Well, from the pros perspective, if you see a lot of biotech things happening. And I'm just wondering, what's the Vancouver edge that you can cover it?
What's the Vancouver asset?
Yeah, the edge for Vancouver that you can pick it up.
I don't fully understand what you mean by.
How is it possible that quite so many biotech firms are active in Canada and are big in Canada?
Well, there's a lot of activity, and there's a lot of companies like if you look at the list of companies I have on there now, Theralase, and they identified a super potent anti-cancer drug. Well, there's a lot of research going into high tech or high specific drugs, and there's a big audience for them. But with the biotechs, they take a little longer to develop because. Once they designed a specific molecule they do trials on it, animal trials, then they have to get into clinical trials, and it takes a while. But if they find something like, for example, Theralase identifies super potent anti-cancer drugs, and if I go and take a look at their trading symbol and their chart, I'll tell you that it probably has done very well. Yeah, it's at 32 cents. From an 18 and a half low, 55 cent high, so the chart looks pretty good. It's fallen back somewhat, but they're constantly putting out news releases about anti-cancer vaccines, 24-month stability with an anti-cancer drug. It's an active area. It's maybe not as popular as, like I said earlier, marijuana, blockchain technologies, and cryptocurrencies. There's still a strong appetite for the biotech and pharmaceutical companies. But the key thing with these ones is they're longer. You have to buy them and hold on to them for longer periods of time to see significant gains. So if you were to buy a company like Theralase Technologies on the Venture Exchange, which is a 30-cent stock today, roughly, you'd probably have to hold a couple of years to see it go up to a dollar or two. Why? Because of the business plan takes longer for them to execute. It'll take them 2 to 5 years to get it into a clinical trial studies where they're testing their drugs on human beings. And then from there, they have FDA approvals, or in Canada, Health Canada approvals and all that other stuff. So it takes a longer time. So they're not as popular because of that, but there are people that buy them, and they like the sector. They like the idea that, and when they do get their approvals and have success, they take off real quickly. They go from 30, 40 cents to $2 overnight.
Wow, that are great things. That's amazing.
But you have to pick the right ones, and you have to be patient with those types of companies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The market today seems to be more like, I want to go to the casino, I want to put my money into the slot machine, and I want to make the money right now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that way, and you can. There are stocks that trade that way, and in one day you can make yourself thousands of dollars, or in 1 week, but they're not that common. And having the patience to choose a proper penny stock is fine. But then again, on the other side, like I said earlier, the penny stocks don't always succeed. So it's a tough game to invest in them. And here's just a word of advice. Yeah, and brokers will tell you this, and I'm not giving advice, but I've heard this and I agree with it. If, let's say, you have $100,000 that you'd like to invest in something in the market, they always say you're going to put no more than 10 to 15%, no more than 10 or 15% of that money into the junior companies. So therefore, your other 80%, 90%, whatever it is of that 100,000, say you have not, will go into more senior, stable types of investments. So you don't lose your money. So you play. It's called the high risk investments, and high risk money are the penny stocks. And then you can go and look at the biotech, the mining companies, the marijuana companies, and put $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 spread out into 5 or 6 stocks, whatever you'd like to do in that respect. And then cross your fingers that you pick the right company, and they do the right things, or they do something extremely successful happens. The market responds really favorably with the respective company, and you make a lot of money with them. But to put there are stories of guys that have put hundreds of thousands of dollars into junior companies, and they lose all their money. And it's a sad state of affairs because they're not using good common sense in that respect. You know, so I always, you know, I'm in the business of working with these companies, marketing them, and as well as presenting them on the website. But just always remember, they are like little babies. And, you know, the first 3, 4, 6 months of a little child, they're very vulnerable. They can get sick, they can die, they can hurt themselves, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the same kind of thing from an analogy point of view with junior companies. They're young, they're fragile. If they run out of money, they're finished, you know, because they need money to operate, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So when you're choosing them, be wise and do your due diligence, check things out a bit. I always encourage people to call the companies, you know, and talk to the management, get a feel over the phone if you can trust the individual, or do they know what they're doing, if you're going to put serious money into them. If you're going to only invest 5 or 10,000 shares and play it like a kind of a bet on a gambling casino, well, then that's a different story. But if you're going to put $5,000-$10,000 or more into a junior company, make sure you know who the management are and what they're doing, and check them out, that kind of thing.
Okay. Just one thing. I see on your website you're looking at technology here in the Eindhoven area. It's overloaded with high-tech companies, literally. Sometimes I got the idea that there are more high-tech firms than that there are people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's, in your opinion, the key to a profitable tech investment?
Well, that's okay. Again, that's the technology sector, as we are in the 21st century, and I'm not a millennial, so I'm not right up to it. But I'm going to say it is the frontier of the world. I just saw an announcement that Walmart is using robots to wash the floors in the stores now. I know Mitsubishi Bank in Japan has robotic tellers that provide deposits and withdrawals. There are courier companies using robots. They have nanny robots, robots that will take care of your children. That's all technology-based. You've got blockchain technology that's going to remove the people that do administration functions with banks and government. That's technology. You have artificial intelligence. that's coming into play, that's monitoring people, places, and things, and using that data to move things forward. The technology, the 21st century is going to be the new technology era for the human race, and our children's children's children will all be part of it. Will we? There's great opportunities in there to make serious money, and there's no question about it. The juniors that are in that area, some of them are doing well, some of them maybe not so well. It's like anything else, it's a new sector, as far as the new technology, not the older technologies. But technology is here to stay, and if you can pick the right junior technology stock, especially the ones that are doing well, like the blockchain ones, robotics I think is going to be a good area, and artificial intelligence, I'm repeating myself, you should fare well. But again, depending on the business, depending on the management, and depending on what the business plans are, will determine if they're going to be successful. I'm going to say, probably out of every junior company that starts, I would give it a probably 10% to 20% of them 2 years from this date are still actively working and building their business plan.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, that's in a low rate. But
it is. It's a low rate because the fundamental thing is sometimes they just don't. The things that make a company fail is wrong timing. They come out with the wrong product or service, no matter what the sector is. Management's got a poor management or a bad business plan or lack of cooperation. And the most fundamental will be resources, the ability to continually to raise capital to fund the company's business plan. And that's the greatest weakness for the junior companies. And I don't mean to tell people to steer away from them, but just reality is reality. They always need an injection of cash because they're not generating cash from sales from goods or services like the seniors or majors are doing.
Okay, then with those things, is there any final comment or word you'd like to release?
Well, the final thing is, I sounded kind of pessimistic maybe at the end, but I think the best opportunity is to choose junior stocks in any sector that have good structure, good share structure, meaning they have come out onto the market with not too many shares issued and outstanding. I'll give you one that I really like the most, and they've got a great business plan. Here, I've got one here that I'll leave you with for your readership to check into. Right. And the reasons why I like it. It's a company called Guyana Gold Strike. Guyana Gold Strike has 37 million shares issued and outstanding, and that is very tiny. Anything under 50 million shares as a junior company is a very good structure from a share capital position. But here's what they have to offer to their investors who become shareholders. They've already got a mining camp in British Guyana. They've got 800,000 ounces of gold in the ground. They've got infrastructure for the mining camp in place. They've got royalty payments coming from local miners who work around the mining camp and pay the company a 10% royalty. So they've got cash flow. And number five, they've got a project that has the potential of being a multi-million ounce gold deposit. They've got the government already working on side, and they're moving forward with drilling and further exploration to deliver a 1 to 2 million ounce or further gold deposit. The stock trades around 30 cents today, around 30, 35 cents. Trades under the symbol G like gold, mm-hmm. Y like yellow, and A like apple. Now, here's a company that's inherited 40,000 meters of drilling, $30 million worth of expenditures were invested into this project, and here they are as a junior mining, gold mining company, 37 million shares out, 30 cents a share. This thing will probably be a dollar or two once the business plan starts to unfold. So there's an opportunity, and those are the kind of stocks I like to find, ones that are rich with great potential, have a great structure, and have a great business plan sitting right there, rather than there's other ones that are, you know, they don't have the same kind of thing. So Guyana Gold Strike fits my model of a great junior penny stock that has a great potential to be a dollar or two down the line.
That sounds like a great investment, and at least for something to check out, because that's the most important thing. Check it out.
Yes, please do.
Yeah. Okay, well, with that I would say thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you, Lodrik. I appreciate you allowing me to talk on your radio show.
Podcast, yeah, the honor is all on my side. So hopefully we speak again soon.
Sure, anytime. Let me know.
Okay, great.
Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was the show for today. You will get quite more of this level of things, so let me know what you think about it. You can leave me a tweet at Lodewijkhof, or you simply leave a comment below on SoundCloud. And don't forget, the tax-free passport is out, so have a look, get your money that you make with your penny stock investments, keep it to yourself, and don't pay a tax government and a tax bureaucrat the legal route. I will talk to you again, and see you tomorrow.